Talk with Maria Bailey. Join Maria as she takes on topics important to you. From the cradle to college, Maria and her expert guests offer information, tips, and tools to make the busy lives of families easier. Now, here's your host, Maria Bailey.
Okay, so we are halfway through the leftovers that you have from Thanksgiving, and nobody is touching that leftover, whatever that vegetable casserole was that your favorite aunt brought to dinner. Nobody touched it on Thursday, and nobody's touching it today. So it's time that maybe it might be laid to rest at the bottom of a garbage can. I am Maria Bailey, and I'm excited. We're full into the holiday season. I don't know how much shopping you got done on Black Friday, but I did a little. I got up early, 4 o'clock. I'm that type of person. I really didn't need anything, but I just like the thrill of watching everybody else scramble. And then, of course, tomorrow is Cyber Monday, and great deals already popping up all over the place. My favorite place to shop on Cyber Monday is Overstock.com. Okay, I actually go to Overstock.com for everything. Before I buy anything anywhere else, I always go there to make sure that they don't have it at Overstock, because I just have the best luck there. And I got a peek at some of the things that they have. Those big plastic kitchens that your kid can, little girls enjoy. I saw those on sale there for like $50-something. Anyways, great stuff. And it's like one of those places where I can go and buy for a lot of people. I'm looking forward to their sales tomorrow. I'm also looking forward to getting those people off my list that I never can tell or decide what I'm going to buy them because they have everything. So actually, for my college kids this year, I am getting them instant ink from HP. I don't know if you've heard about this, but it comes with there's a printer, one of the printers that HP has actually comes with 3 months of free ink. But instant ink, basically you sign up and enroll your computer, and it knows, the computer tells HP when to send you more ink. So no more do you have to freak out when your child has a project due the next day and suddenly you have no ink in your printer. So, and it starts, I think it's like $3 a month, but anyways, that's what my college kids are getting, HP printers with the instant ink, so that they don't have to call home and say, "Mom, I'm out of ink. You know, send me $15 for that ink cartridge," because I'm going to solve that problem. We have a fantastic show lined up for you today, and I'm very excited about it because we're going to talk health. We're going to talk feeling good. We're going to talk about a whole bunch of things. And of course, as always, the show is brought to you by Premama. You can drink Premama if you are pregnant or you are a breastfeeding mom. Really great stuff. Go to drinkpremama.com. And when we return, we are going to talk with Dr. Jeremy Friedman about the basics of baby care.
Mom's Little Secret. Mom Talk Radio.
I am delighted to be joined by Dr. Jeremy Friedman. He is the author of Baby Care Basic. He actually hails from Cape Town, South Africa, so we get to enjoy his lovely accent. But more importantly, we get to be informed by his great knowledge of babies and child care. And I think you're going to find that he is he's a man who knows all of the things that as moms we wish we had access to and know. But I guess we have access now in his book. So welcome, Dr. Friedman, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thanks very much for having me, Maria.
So let's talk a little bit about immunizations and vaccines, because that seems to be something that gets a lot of debate in the media. What do we need to know about immunizations and vaccines?
Oh, that's it's always a hot topic. I think unfortunately there is a tremendous amount of misinformation as well as information on the internet and in the media. I think for parents it is a little bit scary because obviously if you believe everything you hear, it's going to make you extremely anxious. I mean, what I would say to parents is, you know, find somebody or some source that you trust, whether it's your healthcare provider or whether it is a source in the media that really is reputable, whether it's your American Academy of Pediatrics or your local children's hospital or something, and really try and develop a trusting relationship with that source. Because if you believe absolutely everything that you read or hear, you're really going to have a lot of sleepless nights.
Yes, exactly. And speaking of sleepless nights, let's talk about sleep because it is probably the one thing that challenges parents the most with a new baby. And what about the debate of co-sleeping, not co-sleeping, letting the baby cry itself to sleep? There's lots of debates around sleep. So what do we need to know there?
Well, I think that new parents need to know that basically, babies in the beginning are not particularly good sleepers. You know, when you hear your neighbor saying that their baby slept through the night at 2 months of age or something, usually when people talk about sleeping through the night, it might be a sort of around a 4 or 5 hours maximum. So I think, you know, having realistic expectations, certainly newborn babies early on will only sleep for about 3, maximum 4 hours at a time. So just being a bit realistic about how long they're going to sleep for. Obviously, as they start to get closer to 5 or 6 months, they have the physiological ability to sleep through the night. But to be honest, we kind of have to train them to be able to sleep through the night without having to be disturbed too often.
So when you say we have to train them to sleep, are we training them for the way they sleep for the rest of their life? Like, for instance, I know some people who will not even allow their husbands to mow the grass outside because it might create too much noise and wake the baby. And I know some people who purposely let their children fall asleep where it's noisy in hopes that they'll be able to sleep anywhere. So is that a myth or is there some truth to that?
No, I think that's probably a myth. I think we all have different sort of sensitivities and different levels of, what triggers us and that. So I think there probably is a huge individual variation. And I don't think that's based on whether you let your child sleep in a perfectly quiet environment. I think that you have to be realistic. One of the things we teach parents is, you know, when you're training your baby to sleep or putting them to sleep, you have to put them to sleep in an environment that can be replicated. So, you know, if you're looking for 100% perfect peace and quiet, that's probably not something that you're going to be able to replicate 350 nights of the year. So it's probably not entirely realistic. So I think you're looking for just good common sense kind of bedtime routines.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what about, let's tackle another issue, circumcised or uncircumcised?
You definitely like to go for the controversial ones.
I do.
I think from a medical point of view, there's sort of equipoise. There certainly is increasing evidence that there are some medical advantages of being circumcised as a little boy. There is a slightly decreased incidence of infections of the urinary tract. There's a slightly decreased incidence of penile cancer when you grow older. There certainly is a slightly decreased incidence of HIV. But a lot depends on the context of where you're growing up. So if you asked me this question in South Africa, where I was born and where I actually grew up, I would say absolutely I would circumcise my son, and I would advise people to circumcise their children because the incidence of HIV is very, very high. But in North America, in Canada where I live now, or in the U.S., the incidence of HIV is not particularly high. The incidence of penile cancer and urinary tract infections, again, are pretty low in boys, and I don't think it justifies circumcising a baby for medical reasons. So it basically boils down to a lot of social family reasons, and if you come from a family who, for historical or cultural reasons, the boys are circumcised, then it's probably a reasonable thing to do. But if you have absolutely no preconceived ideas, certainly from a medical point of view, there isn't good evidence to go out and circumcise your little boy.
Okay, that's good. So before we let you go, I want to know, your book is out, and I want to find out, where do you have a website where moms can find out more information about baby care and toddler care book?
So I actually work at a children's hospital in Toronto, so the Hospital for Sick Children, and we do have a website. But I would probably direct people to Amazon.com. That's where the book's available. The book is called Baby Care Basics, and it really is a very, very practical guide written by pediatricians at a children's hospital. Hopefully information you can trust, and it's all the questions that we hear from mothers on a daily basis when we see them. So every single sort of practical question that people ask, we've tried to answer it in a way that makes sense and is easy to access.
Okay, well, now you've just set me up to, I've got to find out, what is the most asked question?
I would say probably sleep is the biggest issue that we come across with mothers. I mean, if you don't get a good night's sleep, parenting becomes 100 times more difficult than it is already, right. and it's not the easiest job in the world. So I think, a lot of people have questions around sleep. I'd say that's probably one of the most common things that we have to deal with on a daily basis.
Well, sleep affects everybody, so I can understand why it's so important. Well, I want to thank you so much. We'll have a link to the book on Amazon.com, and I appreciate you sharing some of your day with us. Thank you very much, Dr. Friedman.
Thank you, Maria.
And when we return, we're going to be talking with one mom who is doing some amazing stuff with nutrition around motherhood. So we're putting today's spotlight on one mom of three who is really doing a lot to help other moms with her blog, nourished-motherhood.com. You can follow her on Twitter at @nourishedmother. And her name is Kia Williams. She's joining us today on Mom Talk Radio. Hi, Kia.
Hi, Maria. How are you?
Fantastic. So we've just finished Thanksgiving. We're all feeling a little overnourished. So it's good to have you here. Tell us a little bit about what moms will find on your blog.
Well, my blog is really one for helping moms learn how to take better care of themselves. So I know there's a lot of other mom blogs out there that talk about crafting and all those kind of things, and that's all awesome stuff. But my blog focuses on teaching moms how to find space and time to actually be really good to themselves so that they can be really good to their families.
Yeah, I think you've hit upon that. So often we take care of everyone else and we don't take care of ourselves.
Absolutely.
That comes out in our parenting. So when you meet moms, what is that one piece of advice that you say to them when they say, oh my gosh, I don't know how you do it, or I'm so tired all the time? Like, what is that one piece of advice you always pull out?
Well, my thing, I'm a registered yoga teacher, so I usually teach moms and my students how to use the really simple practices of yoga to help them give themselves the self-care and time and balance that they need. So there are a couple of things, obviously, that you can do with yoga. Obviously, you can go to a yoga class or take an online yoga class, which is one of the things that I offer through my website. But the other simple things I like to teach moms is how to breathe and how to use mantras to support their efforts and how to take this 10 to 15 minutes to find a relaxation process to help them make it through the rest of their day.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. So what are the benefits of yoga? Because I've always thought to do it, but then it, mm-hmm. I like to sweat and work out hard, and yoga seems mm-hmm. so calm to me.
Well, it depends on what kind of yoga you're taking, Maria. There are some styles of yoga that you can absolutely sweat and get a workout, and that's definitely a part of yoga. But the parts of yoga that have to do with you being more internally focused are the ones that really help us with stress relief. They help bring us back to ourselves, and they help us be better people to ourselves and better people to our families. So some of the benefits are helping us learn how to be more mindful, help us to calm our nervous system so that we're not so stressed, and help us to alleviate tension from our muscles.
Well, that makes sense. So as we go into the holiday season, what is the advice that you're giving moms on your blog?
Well, one of the main things that I like to give moms is the advice to do some kind of systematic relaxation practice. So systematic relaxation has been shown time and time again in research to increase our energy, increase our focus, and to decrease our stress levels. And just taking 10 or 15 minutes to literally lay down, which is awesome, and go through progressively relaxing our muscles is a really good thing for everyone to do, but especially moms on tight schedules.
And that's some really good advice. And then there's always that New Year's resolution that's going to come up right after the holidays. Is there anything that you tell moms as they start the New Year's?
Well, I'm not a big fan of making New Year's resolutions because a lot of people make these big, long lists of
resolutions.
And then they're over them by February. But one of the things that I do recommend to moms and that I do for myself is to set kind of daily or weekly intentions instead of making resolutions. When you wake up in the morning, even if you have a post-it note, which I do have sitting on my nightstand, that says something about how you intend to feel for the rest of that day or for the rest of your week is a really great start.
That is a fantastic idea. So tell everyone where they can find you, and hopefully we will, because you've got some great content on your blog and on your Twitter feed. So tell everyone where they can find you.
Absolutely. They can find me at www.nourished-motherhood.com. And everyone listening can get a free 15-minute guided relaxation that I created just for the listeners here on Mom Talk Radio. And they can get that at nourished-motherhood.com/relax.
Well, thank you so much for sharing some of your day with us, Kia. And as we go into the holiday season, I hope that our moms will take some of your advice because it's really, really good advice. So thank you so much for joining us today on Mom Talk Radio. And you know, it is a good time to think about how you can find solutions for your life and how you can reclaim a little bit of your time. And that's just really good to think about how you can take care of yourself, because after all, if mom's not feeling good, then neither is the rest of the family, and you can't take any care of anyone else if you're not taking care of yourself. We'll be talking a lot about that as we move into the new year.
Helping you succeed at the most important career you'll ever have. Welcome to Mom Talk with Maria Bailey.
I am excited to have with us Gabriella Von Ray, and she is the leading voice of the kindness movement. She works to spread the message that we are all unique and we have something to offer that the next person doesn't. So the Kindness Movement is a not-for-profit organization, and it's based in the United States and more specifically in the LA area. So we're excited to have Gabrielle with us. Welcome, Gabrielle, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, well, I'm excited to have you here. So there are a few observations that we garnered from your own experiences over the years that we hear that are useful to you in talking with parents. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I'm one of the first multicultural adoptees in the world, meaning that I was adopted from Pakistan all the way to the Netherlands when that was unheard of. Today, cross-cultural adoptions are everywhere, and many celebrities have kids from all over the world. But I can tell you that in 1966, nobody did that. So it was quite something new. And with that comes a bit of adversity. And what I mean by that, it comes with a real sense of not belonging. I didn't know. I was adopted by the Dutch, and you can imagine I look Indian. So
right.
Dark and short. And so when you look so different and you come into a new environment, you don't know that there's something wrong with you. And I tried to explain that to the kids at school, and I even tried to explain that to my mom. And that's where I talk a lot about this, is I find that the children today, and myself included, we do not feel that we can talk to people if they are not in the same situation. How can a child, how can an adoptee talk to someone who does not know what it's like to be refused for playing together because of the skin color or because people think it's dirty or
right.
know what I mean?
So yeah,
that's
yeah, absolutely.
Hard.
So there are a lot of families today who are adopting, and many of them are going outside of their skin tone or
their ethnicity.
Yes. So what is the advice that you would give those parents who are adopting?
I think, first of all, for all your listeners out there, adoption is a great thing. I think it's a gift that goes both ways. But as an advice, one of the first things that I would love parents to do is don't only have expectations for you. Do understand that no matter how old you are, even if you're a baby, I think we all have expectations. It's somewhere ingrained in us, like, hey, we expect this to be a good gift. But a lot of parents adopt because they want a child. But I think for the adoptee parents, it's important to say, what can we bring to that child? What is it in our family that we can bring these children, you know, in our family and help them, truly help them? That's one. Encourage dialogue on anything, like, for example, skin color. And third, I think it's really, really important not to lie. I've met a lot of adoptees that said, my parents lied. Apparently, I was born with another name, and they changed it, but they didn't tell me. So they get very upset about stuff like that. I think lying is really a big one, because when a child is small, it doesn't think of abandonment the same way you do. So
right.
when someone said, oh, how sad, Gabriella was abandoned, I had no reaction to that. I don't even think that I really know what that meant. And so always understand that that child comes with something. You know, we know psychologists are saying it. Children remember on a certain level everything, even though it was very unconscious between 0 and 3 for me in the orphanage. But there is a level of remembering. And so what you bring to the table has to always be brought to the table in such a way that it's not my way or the highway. I give you a real sad example that I heard, and I think it will hit home to your listeners.
Right.
I met an adoptee, and the parents had 2 photo albums while the child grew up. One was with her in it, and one was with her out of it. Now, that does huge damage to the child.
But, like, why are these people adopting? I don't understand in that situation why someone would be adopting anyways. I mean, like clearly you're not adopting for the right reasons if that's the kind of attitude that you're taking.
But that's what I'm saying. We adopt for so many reasons that the kid doesn't know. And so if that would happen, if, let's say that you would do that, then at least make sure the child never, ever sees it. Ever.
Right, right.
Because I think it becomes a problem. For example, my parents said, "You're chosen, Gabriella. You're special." When my sister asked, "What was I difficult when I was, you know, in your tummy?" And my mom would do a whole story about her, you know, my sister. But then to not leave me out, she would say to me, "Oh, I know you're really special." And so at school when they said, "Well, you know, adopted kids are really basically throwaway kids." That's what they told me in school. And they said, and I answered, "Well, you know, I'm really special." And the kid said, "Yeah, you think so? Nah, not really."
Well, kids are cruel. Don't you think? I mean, I kind of think that, I mean, it sounds like we're focusing on the negative, but I kind of think that adoption has become so mainstream that now it, like, I know that my girls tell people they're adopted and they don't, people around them don't even think twice because it's just so mainstream now.
It is very mainstream, but the only thing I would love parents to take away is keep talking to your child because there is a missing link. And that missing link will be forever. And right. No matter how much love you give to someone, when you don't know your background or your roots, it is something you miss later in life, too. You know, you sometimes wonder, you know, when your own children are born, where some of the traits, physical traits, came from. And those are natural things. I think that if you're open, the parent that wants to adopt is open, I am so for adoption. I think adoption is a really, really great thing. But as long as you put the child central, as long as you understand
absolutely.
That for a child it's hard to adapt to you too. That for me is actually the main advice.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time, but I want to make sure that everybody gets your website. It's Gabriella.global. Is where we can find you and find more information about Project Kindness, right?
Absolutely, because kindness is what it's all about. Someone helped me. I feel like my parents and the people that helped my adoption were the people that were kind to me and showed me in my life how to be kind to others.
Great message as we go into the holiday season. Well, thank you so much, Gabriella, for being with us today on Mom Talk Radio.
Number one podcast for busy moms, Mom Talk Radio.
As someone who has just completed their 26th marathon, I am super excited about our next guest because he seems to do a lot of what I do, and that's running and being outdoors with his kids. And his name is Chris Ritchie. He is with Thule, and you may know that brand because they are, gosh, they make so many things. In fact, they make something that is on my holiday Christmas list this year. And I sent a link to my son to, you know, because that's what you do. You like give the link to your son who gives it to your husband and you hope that they actually buy you the right one. But I'm really excited to have him with us today. He's an outdoor gear expert, a marathoner, and the father of an eight-month-old named Emma. So welcome, Chris, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. Really excited.
Oh, I'm thrilled to have you here because I got to ask you some questions about your gear there. But first, I want to start off with I logged so many miles with a baby jogger, and I'm not sure that I picked out the best one when I was running, but they've really come a long way since I had babies in a jogger. What does moms look for now when picking out the best jogger?
Yeah. For the most part, it's the go-to is safety. Looking for a jogger that's going to have a safe, you know, 5-point harness for their child. But then looking at the next feature, it's a lot of features devoted to comfort and ease of use. So that could be comfort for the child, but also comfort for the mom or the dad who's pushing the stroller. So very important after logging a lot of miles that you're going to be comfortable, but also, you know, that the child's going to be safe and secure in the stroller as well.
And so when you talk about the child's comfort, because for so long, the baby joggers were like, don't use them before they can have strength in their neck. And you, I don't know, they just couldn't have been very comfortable. They were basically a piece of canvas hanging between two metal rods. What specifically has changed that adds comfort for the child?
Well, a lot of companies, what they're doing now, and with our strollers at Thule, we have different accessories and different removable features that can kind of grow with the child. So we offer something called an infant sling, which is something that, a couple days or a week after coming home from the hospital with your newborn, you can strap your little one into this infant sling. It's basically like a padded secure hammock, so that the child is strapped in, but it's a secure hammock where they're hanging at an angle, and it's basically like a bassinet. Obviously, you wouldn't go running or cycling with this accessory, but you could certainly go strolling around town. And then, right, as the child grows, you could take them out of the infant sling and then add in an accessory that supports their neck and head, basically like pads on either side of the child's head for when you are going to go jogging with it or cycling with it. So, yeah, that's really the big feature with these products nowadays is the ability to grow with your child, which is great because you're not investing in one product after the next. It's a product that you can have for the long haul.
Right, right. And so we're talking about growing with our child. One of the really cool things you have is a multi-sport trailer that can actually transport your kids as well. Can you talk a little bit about how that has emerged and gotten better? Because they are very, very cool.
Yeah, they're great. With our multi-sport trailers, it's really five sports, four seasons, all in one stroller. So you can bike with it, you can jog with it, you can use it as a stroller. And then you can also hook a harness up to it or to attach to your waist so you can hike with it. And then using that same harness, you can actually remove the wheels and put on cross-country skis, and you can cross-country ski with it. So it's really, there's no stopping the active parent when it comes to being able to get outside, in all four seasons.
Okay. And we only, unfortunately, have 90 seconds to go, but I got to mention the thing that's on my Christmas list, and that's a bike rack for my car, because we forget about the fact that, you just don't have to bike with your child around the neighborhood. If you throw it on your car, there's some awesome trails and railroad trails that are being converted now to bike trails for your kids. And just tell us real quickly where we can find all of these great gear products.
Yeah, all of the products from our strollers to our bike racks and cargo boxes for the roof can all be found on Thule.com. You can purchase it right on our website, or you can search for a dealer that's local to you and find one in your backyard.
Well, thank you so much, Chris, for joining us today on Mom Talk Radio. And we have a link to Thule.com on Mom Talk Radio. So thank you so much for being with us. We're on the heels of holidays, and we've got a lot of really great, stress relievers that we're going to be talking about in the coming weeks. So I hope that you'll take us along on your iPad or your iPod or whatever the iThing is that you listen to, because you can download Mom Talk Radio in iTunes. So I will be back in just a second with a great holiday special for you.
In this last segment of Mom Talk Radio, I am pleased to introduce Catherine Doggart. Catherine is a unique voice in children's literature, and she has written three books and delivers stories that kids care about with creative characters, exquisite artistry, and a sense of whimsy. And right before during the break, I told Catherine, we were just talking to Simone about her book and the whole process, and that was my big question, was what about the illustrator? So that is what you are. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Catherine.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So you write and illustrate your own books, correct?
I do, yeah. So I started, well, I've always liked to write and illustrate, and I started making books for my nieces and nephews just as Christmas presents, and
they kind of
went forward from there.
Yeah. So tell us then, the latest book that you've just published, and congratulations, by the way, is called ABC Disgusting.
Thank you, yeah.
That's a great title. Tell us about that.
It's an ABC book, like a normal alphabet book, but all the letters are for something disgusting. So A is for apartment, armpits, B is for bear burps. Things like that, which I made for my nephew because six-year-old boys love nothing more than talk about things that are disgusting.
More disgusting, the better.
Yes, definitely so, especially if they can get an adult to say something disgusting. That is particularly fun. So
yes.
It was very fun to write and come up with silly things, and then very fun to try to draw disgusting things in a beautiful way. So,
right. So I was, as I was just saying to the previous guest, the illustrations, I think, especially in children's, like that's, I think, and as Simone said, it's more important than almost the copy. So where did you, what art technique did you use? Were you formally trained in art? How did you evolve into doing the art and the whole book, really?
Well, I've always loved to draw. I was always a doodler as a kid, always making books and cartoons, and I just sort of kept that as a hobby all throughout my life and as a way to sort of, relieve stress, have fun, make gifts for people. I was always drawing, painting, doing things like that. And then in the book itself, I do a mixture of pen and ink drawings with collage, with marbled paper, and I marble my own paper, which is a technique where you float paints on top of a thickened water and then print papers with the sort of swirly designs that you can make with the paints that float on top of the thickened water. And then I would cut shapes and designs from there and do some pen and ink drawing and collage with that to make them. So they're really interesting and end up being very interesting and unique because of the patterns you can get with that marbling technique.
Oh, that sounds great. As like I said, a person who barely can draw a stick figure, I'm just always fascinated by artists. So, and you won Best Illustrator. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I was really honored because I didn't even know that my publisher had put me in for the award. So it was very exciting to get the notification.
That's great.
That I won the award. Yeah.
That's awesome. Do you have a website where now you have ABC Disgusting, which sounds like a fabulous gift for anybody, especially, like I said, any kid who likes disgusting things, especially boys, for holidays. But you have two other published children's books called Even in My Monster Hat and The Dingle Beast Needs to Sleep, which are just fabulous titles. Where can our listeners find these books?
Right now, they are primarily available through the publisher. Their website is woodlandway.com.
Okay.
And we've also done a couple events. So if you also go to woodlandway.com, you can see if we have an event in your area coming up, like arts festival, children's books festivals, things like that, where I've gone to a couple of them. Some of them I haven't been able to go to, and just the publisher is. Sometimes we do art projects with the kids and have the books available too. So it's a lot of fun.
Well, that's great.
But that's where you can look at some images from the books on the website and buy them directly from there.
Okay, great. So it's woodlandway.com. We'll have a link to that on that website on Mom Talk Radio next week. And thank you so much, Catherine, for joining us and sharing your books and good luck and congratulations on all your success. And thank you so much for joining us.
I want to thank you so much for listening to Mom Talk Radio today. I'm Maria Bailey, and I hope you will join us again next week as we bring you into the holiday season with lots of practical advice. Follow me at Twitter at Mom Talk Radio. And we'll see everyone again next week. Stay warm, everybody.